You're listening to Am I the Bowlcast, the only podcast about magic in the entire world. It's the podcast that dares to ask, hey, buddy, were you the bad guy here? And the answer is, yeah, probably. I'm your host, Mike Carrozza, a.k.a. Mark Carbonza. You might know me for my work over at CommandersHerald.com Am I the Bowlus series. The column that I run over there, by the way, isn't that familiar to the podcast name? Oh, wowee, look at that. A little bit of a spinoff thing happening. With me, as always, in the very same office across two different cities is, the big old brain behind How They Brew It, the series over at CommandersHerald.com. You might know him as Games Freak SA, but over here we call him Michael Solani. Hey, Michael.
Mike, I have 20 pre-cons.
Okay. Well, also joining us.
You're just going to leave it at that? You're not going to judge me for my reckless spending of money? You're not going to judge me for...
No, because I have more.
You have more than 20. How many pre-cons do you think you have? Just estimate right now.
40.
Right now, still together? Are we counting still together?
No. Just how many have you purchased?
In general? Okay, yes. I could go through. I could do this. I could do this for real. You want our super producer, our super genius producer joining us on the call, also in the same office, is Morgan Sanchez. Hey, Morgan, tell everybody what's happening.
Hey, I have 3 pre-cons.
Damn it, Morgan. I thought you were going to talk for a lot longer than that.
Are you still calculating how many pre-cons you have? Because I think Solani asked you a question.
I can go through. I'm going to go through all the pre-cons and tell you.
Getting a spreadsheet out.
Yeah, I can. I totally. Yeah, here. Look. Okay.
Microsoft Excel is like magic.
I don't have that.
You don't have Excel? You're one of the people that uses OpenOffice, aren't you?
No, I don't.
Free as in code and not as in.
No, come on now.
Beer.
What? I don't know. What are you talking about?
I mean, that got like 5% of the audience right there.
Okay, if you're part of that 5%, write in and tell us what you're talking about, because I don't understand it at all.
Yeah, right into Mike's column at Am I the Bowlcast? Am I the Bowlus?
Am I the Bowlus
at gmail.com.
I will. Here, look, I'm putting it in the document. Michael, why don't you tell us about a commander game you had recently? I'll type up the amount of decks pre-cons I got.
Oh, man. The amount of games I've had. I had a game with my Get Targeted by Stuff deck. I have a deck that gets targeted by stuff. That's the point of the deck.
Okay.
Because when it gets targeted by stuff, you draw a bunch of cards and also make like tokens and stuff.
Who's the commander?
Cut this while I try and figure out their name.
No, we're keeping it in.
Excuse me a second.
I mean, playing a commander you don't know the name of is big me energy, so I applaud you for that.
I mean, it's the four color, it's the gay boys. It's the four color gay boys. I'm blanking on their name.
Kineas and Tiro.
Yeah.
Okay.
So it's Kineas and Tiro.
Yeah.
And I play it mostly for the colors. And basically, I was going through this game, and they were about to kill a permanent that I really wanted on the battlefield right now. It was like, I forget what the permanent was, but it was keeping my other opponents from playing the game.
Oh.
And I was like, wow, I really want that to stay around so that my opponents cannot play the game while I can still play the game.
Michael.
Because I had a bunch of like ward related stuff on my board. It's also a Slivers deck. Don't worry about it.
Oh my. And no. It's Bolas on top of. Nobody wants to hear this.
And one of the Slivers gives your other Slivers ward. So, maybe it was a changeling that gives everything ward. I don't remember. But at the end of the day, I had to deflecting SWAT removal away from that creature and onto one of my own, where it would get countered, and I drew 3 cards, and within that three cards was my win condition, which is, of course, a Crater Hoof, and I killed the table.
So you deflecting SWATed something?
I deflected a removal spell onto one of my creatures to counter it with ward.
That's honestly genius. That is so impressive.
And it drew me cards. Because I had things like that gigantic Kaldheim beast that draws you cards when something of yours gets targeted.
I don't know which one that is, but I was thinking like Runic Armasaur.
It's got Foretell.
Oh, the Battle Mammoth, Battle Boy. Yeah, big old Battle Boy, Battle Baby.
Have you done all your math yet? Come on, this isn't like our voting
system. No, I'm not done. I swear to God, I'm not. I've bought a lot of pre-cons.
Morgan, you need to stall now.
Morgan, tell us about a game.
Apparently so. So the sheer amount, I don't play Magic, by the way, but when I do, I played it with you.
I drink Dos Equis.
You don't need to steal my thunder, Solani. I'll let you because I love you and you're wonderful, but you know.
Damn.
Thunder stolen fully.
Damn.
That to say, when I play Magic, I played it at MagicCon Chicago with the both of you, and the sheer amount of social engineering it took to get both of you, and I don't know if we talked about this or I just talked about it with Jason and Dakota, that got the both of you convinced that Urza Chief Artificer had affinity for just artifacts and not artifact creatures. We were all bamboozled by this because I was running off. I just saw affinity for artifact and that was it. The creatures part did not exist to me. I did not do this maliciously. I am not the bolus for this, by the way. All that to say.
For misreading your commander?
For everybody. Am I the bolus for everyone at the table?
Am I the bolus for not knowing?
Because Solani, I distinctly remember you, Solani, taking that as like clarification for something, because Urza's got like a bunch of text on him, right? So he's got artifact creatures you control have menace. At the beginning of your end step, you get a OO colorless artifact construct that gets
got vigilance,
one,
trample,
one.
And haste. It's, when it deals combat damage to a player, ward, deals that much combat damage to a planeswalker that player controls.
Annihilator 3, in
combat damage
one.
You control can't be prevented.
So, I understandably, you were like, oh, what does it do? What does it say? Right? Here's the card. Nobody noticed until the very end, and I'm like, hold. Because, naturally, in Urza's deck, it's artifacts all day. It's artifacts at end step. Like, that's already a pretty solid mechanic that he's got with the construct, but affinity for artifact creatures, once you start getting in that commander tax, I was basically sending him out for Esper colors every single time because I always had three artifacts, right? So I am the bolus, but I'm not, because we all misread it, so everyone was entirely bamboozled by this. I think it's the most fun time I've ever had in Magic, was just realizing that
is misplaying your commander.
No, because I have never had anyone at the table like not notice something like that. There's always somebody who's like, oh wait, it does say, you know, this or whatever, but everybody read what he did. Every person at that table
I assumed you knew what he was doing. I had no idea. I honestly looked at him and I was like, oh, okay.
See, this is why I play banding and flanking in my decks, because it turns out you could just make up whatever you want and people will believe you.
Oh my God, Michael.
Michael is the bolus in bit frequent of a bolus.
Look,
scenarios.
My whole persona on this podcast is for me to be a little gremlin, okay?
Yeah, you're a bit of a gremlin over here. You're a gremlin boy.
Siege gang commander.
No, are goblins.
So I have to pull out my calculator app while I go through this. Because I've bought a lot of pre-cons. For a while, it was easier to do pre-cons because they were just like once a year. And then the thing is, like, I used to write for an LGS that paid me in store credit. So I was like, well, you know what? Every time I have to review all the cards in different colors of the sets and I make enough money to buy a box and the commander decks, I might as well buy the commander decks. So there's a nice chunk of these that I like didn't technically pay for, or like rather they paid for themselves.
Whoa, out of context.
Hold on. You can't say they pay for themselves if you do them in exchange for work that you're providing to the company.
Right. Yeah, but if I didn't do that, then
there's no such thing as a free lunch.
We support shareholder value.
Well, do I need to take you back to AP Micro? Speaking of AP Micro, didn't you go to high school? Don't you have like a TI-83 silver on your desk right now?
Went to fucking French school, Mike.
Oh, that's
okay,
right.
Sorry,
they don't
Ken.
Do math.
Train of thought. Not language anyway, doesn't exist. Math doesn't exist. Did we get there? Do we have the final number?
Yeah, we got
number?
There. 70 pre-cons. I bought 70 pre-cons. Oh, wait. No, I missed two. 72.
You purchased 72 pre-cons.
There's been 72 pre-cons in the last like 2 months. Jeez.
Yeah, but I'm talking about from like 2013 on.
Oh,
like
sure.
I bought, you know, I've been buying pre-cons. My first pre-con was Derevi.
At $40 a thing, that's like almost $3,000 in pre-cons.
That's not too bad.
Actually, that's not that bad, actually. Amortized over
like
10 years.
Yeah.
I would buy every one of those for $3,000.
And it's not even like, the thing is, some of these was like an annual thing. It wasn't even like,
it used to be.
And some of the pre-cons were less than. And
oh, that's right.
And some of these are
before everyone lost their minds.
then the Zendikar Rising ones were like $25 even. Like the, you know,
the Derevi one was bank for until they banned him.
Well, I mean, Derevi was so sick. But point is, yeah, I have in my time playing Magic purchased 72 precons, not to mention the fact that I have totally purchased the Warhammer decks twice because I wanted to hold on to them as like a thing to just like have. And then I also wanted to have them in the, like in an environment, like a board game, you know, I got them the sleeves, I got them their own boxes. I put them in their own carrier. And now I'm like, okay, who wants to play Commander? And my friends are like, I didn't bring my decks. I'm like, I got the Fallout ones or the Warhammer ones. You know, do you want to play these? I had the Capenna ones together for a little while too, but that just meant that the Cabaretti one didn't get played so much. So anyway, point is, there's a lot of precons out there. What I like to do is, you know, when I got them for store credit that I was getting for writing articles where I was just like, this card looks great, put it in this deck, or this card, I don't like it so much. You know, they were easy articles to write. I enjoyed doing it, and I would do it in like 30 minutes. Honestly, these articles were not breaking my back to make, you know, I was just so stoked about the new cards already. I'd write about them and then boom, there's an article, you know, so that store credit came my way and I was like, well, the $40 I made here is going to pay for this. And, the $60 for this one's going to get this. And so, you know what I mean? So it was just like, hey, put these on your website. I get the cards. Everybody happy.
Yeah. Now you just write articles for money.
Yeah. What a shame. I don't spend money on cards anymore. How dare I? Why would I do that?
Yeah. It really is kind of like a thing, right? Because if you get store credit, well, you have to spend it on the cards.
You got no choice.
Oh. Yeah, but with money, you have to spend it on phone bills. Hey, I don't know why I thought of that right about now.
That's a good one. That's a very fun little
segue.
That does sound like we've got ourselves...
Got it all together.
That sounds like we've got ourselves a caller. All right. Are you guys ready to listen in? I'm going to take this call. Morgan, you mind patching me through the switchboard?
Yes. One moment.
Okay. Here we go. We're going to take the call now. It's time for me to take this call. All righty. Here it goes. Caller on the line. It's Mark Carbonza, Mike Carrozza on the line asking you, who is speaking? Who's calling in today on the Bullcast?
Hello.
Hello. It's the Howling Salt Mine.
You guys are calling again? Back to back?
Yeah, we got more minutes.
we filled up Tony's phone card, so we're good. We're ready to rock.
We are all huddled around one receiver, though. So if it sounds odd, that's what's going on.
Yeah. Okay, well, shout out to Ken, who's going to clean everything up real nice around one microphone.
Thanks, Ken.
The Howling Salt Mine. Boys, identify yourselves with your name and your voice so everybody knows who's speaking when you're talking.
I'm Tony. Michael.
Nice. Oh boy.
Nice. Fucking crushed it.
Oh, swearing again. Tony.
You guys can't yell at me for it because then it makes me almost immediately do it again.
Yeah.
I know. I'm the same way. Yeah. So that is Tony. Tony, go ahead and say hi.
Hi, I'm Tony.
Okay. And Michael, you were going to say something?
Yeah, I was also just saying hi.
Okay. And who else we got with us? It's Sam.
And I'm Sam. And I'm the third one. Hi.
I'm the third one. The third one of what, pray tell? You guys are the boys from Howling Salt Mine, the podcast over on wherever you get your podcasts.
Yep, that's where we are.
About salty stories, a couple salty stories. I feel like we could forego introductions on this episode. Listeners, if you want an introduction to these sweet angels, you go back and listen to the episode before this that they did.
Exactly.
Where they're it's going to say with Howling Salt Mine in the title. So that's how you know it's them. So go ahead and give that a listen if you want to hear a little bit more about the podcast. But it is a great podcast, and I recommend that you subscribe to it immediately. Follow them on Twitter and Instagram and wherever you get your podcast. You give them a subscribe, a little subscribe, follow, leave a little review. Give them 5 stars.
Ooh, thank you.
A little five-star review.
We love all five. That'd be great. Stars. Yeah.
Yeah.
5 stars heard. Thank you. 5. Yeah.
And if it's 4, don't leave it.
Yeah.
Yeah, honestly. You know what? I used to work, and this is, I don't know what kind of NDA I'm breaking here, but I used to work at Apple. And when I worked at Apple, boy, did people love giving people 4 stars because they were like, well, the service wasn't perfect, but it was really good. There's always room for improvement. And you're like, hey, we're not asking for perfect. We're asking to keep our jobs and maybe get some raises. Hey, you know how you're like, the philosophy of it is like, you know, nobody's getting an A+ because if it's an A+, nothing's an A+. Ha ha hee hee. Hey, Barbara, shut up. I fixed your phone. You didn't have to lose all those pictures of your granddaughters. The least you could do is put 5 stars on my thing so I don't have to have a meeting with my manager where they're like, so what happened here?
Yeah. It's like, you're not Siskel and Ebert, you know? I don't need like an in-depth review. It's either 5 stars or just don't even leave the review.
Yeah.
You know, thank you.
Your ethics don't need to show up on my performance review right now.
Yeah. I'm not reviewing you and your quality of writing the review that you wrote me. Like, you know what I mean? I feel like those people are, it's like, if you say it's good and it's 5 stars, someone else is going to be like, well, in my book, that's actually 3.5. It's like, you're not getting criticized that much. It's fine.
Yeah. Especially if, like, you know what? You know who's not getting any phone calls or being held any sort of accountable is the person who left 4-star reviews. But those 4-star reviews are used and held against the employees who receive them. All because you're like, well, I don't want to give a perfect score. It's like I did wait 10 minutes because I didn't bother asking anybody for help. Okay, sure. Hey, you were too shy to speak to the person who was literally making eye contact and asking you, do you need any help? You're like, I know. Yeah. Right. Anyway, that's a whole other
speaking
thing.
Speaking of calling in for help.
Hell yeah.
Oh, wow.
Professionals in the building. We got it.
Hey. Oh, my. Oh, my. Take cover.
Oh, wow.
Oh, yeah.
Oh my well god, done. I'm riddled with bullets now.
Holy. Well, we were calling in because we've got some questions about whether or not, you know, we're in the wrong here.
Ooh.
For the asshole.
Because last time you called in, well, don't say that word. We called that
no,
the bolus.
I did one.
Wow.
Yeah, the nickel bolus is
whether or not we're the bolus.
I think that one gets fine. I don't think that one gets bleeped. I don't know because we're referencing a Reddit thread.
Yeah.
It's anatomical too.
But it's a pronoun. It's a proper noun rather.
Yes.
Yeah, proper noun. Yeah.
Yeah. Pronoun for something. I don't know.
Mm-hmm. Well, yeah. Cause last time you guys called in, it was mostly a story about Sam's distaste for Archfiend of Ifnir.
Yeah.
In Tony's decks. And we kind of just had like a bit of a pod counseling session then between these two.
Yeah.
Therapy session.
Well, have I got some news? It's actually about something Tony did again. No, not really. There's a preamble, but I do have a different thing that I want to know if I'm in the wrong for thinking.
Okay, get him. Let's
before
see
that. Before that, I think Tony was in the wrong for like just raw drawing a combo in a cube game that we were playing twice in a row. Just like fresh off the rip, Squirrel Nest, Earthcraft, just drawing those in opening hands, 2 games in a row. I think that makes Tony the bolus.
How does that make him the bolus? Wait, Tony did cheat?
I don't know what to tell.
Obviously cheated.
Hold on. There should be context provided because this is
let's get some context here.
And so
let's hear
Alan from Mental Misplay. If you know him, love him, go follow him. He has fun content, but he has this cube. And so the Salty Boys were out in Salt Lake City at SaltCon or whatever the fuck it was called.
MTG Summit. We were invited. MTG we should at least know the name.
I knew that I had the name wrong because it was in the Salt Palace, but I forgot. True. So accurate. That was what. But it was a super fun con. And part of what we did while we were there was we did a cube. And so Sam has done this cube before. I have never done it. Mike has never done it. But we had a full pod and it was super fun. And the kind of preamble to the cube was you're going to do stupid, broken shit. And I mean, stuff. And there we it's go. Fun. And if you find one piece to a combo, there's probably the other piece in there somewhere. And it's conspiracy. Okay. So there's a lot of like weird aspects to how you actually do the drafting. Like there's cards that you draft face up. There's cards that let you, you know, pick two cards from a pack, but then skip a pack.
Mm-hmm.
There's other ones that like just totally change the way your deck would play. And so one of the things I got was, you know, draw a second hand of seven and pick one of the two on your starting deck, right? And like it's a 40 card deck. So like guess what? You're drawing that, almost half of it. And like
Elsewhere Flask or whatever, is that what it's called?
No, it's just a Elsewhere Flask is like a when it enters the battlefield, draw a card in like a second. No, this is just like a conspiracy card, I believe, that like has that effect. And so there's a bunch of different types of effects. One of them I think also is like you can use lands for any mana if you meet a certain condition, which is like you have I don't even remember what it was, but it's like meet this condition and you get to use this effect. And some of them are just super powerful. And it's just like, yep, you just draw a second hand of seven and you can use it if you want. You pick which one you're going to use.
But for listeners at home, it's backup plan. It's the conspiracy of it.
Gotcha.
So yeah, you do. You just get to draw two hands of seven. So you're drawing 14 cards to check.
I know that there is an artifact that like from a ridiculous artifact set that was like, if you don't like your opening hand and this is in it, exile it and then draw another seven or something.
Serum powder.
That's it.
Mikey. Yeah, are three mana rocks bad?
Anytime. Honestly, are there any other cards that reference Mulligan in Magic?
Backup plan. Because the only other one.
The only other one. Yeah. Serum Powder is a three mana rock. It's a tap for colorless mana. Anytime you could Mulligan and Serum Powder is in your hand, you may exile all the cards from your hand and draw that many cards.
Very interesting.
So, yeah. Wild card, that is, but okay, that's the one I thought of.
Honestly, anyway. That feels like the kind of thing that would be in this cube. We should tell Alan it should be in there.
Truly.
Because when I say broken stuff, there's like all sorts of two card combos. There's like channel in there, so you could get an Eldrazi out on channel turn fireball. Like one or two.
You could channel fireball if you want.
Yeah, you could channel fireball. Like there's just like so many things. It's super fun and really interesting in how it plays, and it's really easy to make just like a broken deck. But as you know, things were going around, I was building my deck. I had no idea what to do. I'm very bad at drafting to begin with. So like
you and me both, brother.
Yeah. You know what too. I do know? I do know that Squirrel Nest is a combo piece. And I know that it goes with Earthcraft. And I got Earthcraft and I was like, well, I'm going to take this card. Because the original strategy I had was just complete trash. But it was green stompy stuff. And then eventually I came into the other piece. And so I was in a little pod playing with Mike and Alan. And the both of them had cool decks that were doing like broken stuff. But
so this is a commander. This is a commander pod?
Not commander. Like, but you do play four tops or three tops, depending on
how many people you have. Player format.
Okay, well,
that's good to know. Mm-hmm. I'll also just say I have Earthcraft right here in the top loader. Sometimes I've got expensive reserve list cards just hanging out that I don't want to put in a deck. But what's on the back of it? A squirrel token. All right.
Yes.
A point squirrel token that I kept in the sleeve that I bought the Earthcraft in. So there's this cube you're playing, and this conspiracy allows you to draw second hand and kind of pick the best one.
So I've got a 40 card deck. I'm drawing 14 cards and I'm like, okay, well, this hand's got a piece of a combo in it. So
Earthcraft and Squirrels.
This other one doesn't. So I'm going to tuck that one away and like keep the combo piece and know that I'm probably going to get after it. And on turn three, I think each time,
both times.
Each game we played, I just got it out. And the thing that felt bad is it was literally just these two cards, right? Like I played Squirrel's Nest, then I play Earthcraft, or the other way around, and then I just do it. I just do the thing, and I just win.
We drafted this whole cube with these goofy, weird drafting rules and extra restrictions. And all the games that I played consisted of land, 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 Earthcraft, Squirrel Nest. Those were the only game actions that mattered.
Well, the interesting thing I mean, I also went third each time. Like, I was last in turn order both times. And, like, the first time, like, the crazier thing is that the other decks were going to win. Like, they were, like, also very close to it. But it's not like they were doing it. They were doing, like, more interesting stuff, to be honest. Like, I think, you know, Alan had drawn, like, his whole deck. Mike, I can't even remember what you had. What was your deck?
I was transmogrifying things into big, beefy beaters.
Oh, yeah, into, like, an Ulamog.
Yeah.
Nice.
But I didn't even get to use it.
Can't stand up to a thousand squirrels.
A million squirrels.
I don't know what to tell you.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well,
you get blocked all day.
I think we know Tony was the bullish in this one.
Well, but the backup plan, man. Like the backup plan lets you see so many cards. And let me enter in another piece of evidence here.
Uh-huh.
Mike cut Tony's deck.
Oh, yeah.
Oh.
Each time.
So, yeah. Who's really the bolus? Am I right?
So shuffle, Mike cuts the deck, and then now you're blaming Tony.
That's it, right to the
I think
combo.
It's sufficiently randomized. I don't know. I don't know, man. This feels like, you know who the real bolus is here?
You can say
me
it.
For not
it.
Being there to play the cube.
Yeah. It's really that.
It sounds like a real mess, and I love it. Like, I feel like this is right up my alley. I played cube at Commander Sealed last summer, and it was Angelo's Innistrad cube. And I'll tell you what, oh man, that was so sick. That ruled so hard. It was so good that I thought maybe it's time I tried to make a cube. And let me tell you something, too much work. I'm not going to do that.
Yeah. The first time you play a cube, it just, I don't know, it infinitely gave me infinite respect for everyone that's built one.
Absolutely. Absolutely. I'll say that this cube does sound like it's meant to be like, okay, so turn two, next turn, who takes it? You know what I mean? Yeah, like a rock, paper, scissors situation.
It does
situation.
Have some of that.
It's crazy. Like, lots of combos and crazy stuff like that.
Well, that sounds like, honestly, this does, no offense, Alan, this doesn't sound like my kind of cube. I'm the guy that gets upset that, like, somebody organically comes into Kiki Jiki Pestermite, and I'm like, well, why did you do that? You know what I mean? You're like, that's not for me.
Yeah.
At all.
I literally built a Kiki Jiki deck when I played it last time.
Kiki Jiki rules. What doesn't rule is Kiki Jiki Bestermite or Zealous Conscript.
Exactly.
Or
just do the Felidar Guardian. You know what I mean?
This same cube, Sam had Kiki Jiki partnered. So when you cast it, you get to also search for Felidar Guardian.
When you cast one, you tutor the other one. And I had a gamble double stroke. So you cast a gamble and you just copy it. So I would just gamble twice and like, oh man, that was
a mess.
That was a good
mess.
That was so good.
So how does this? So I'm still confused. How does this make Tony the bad guy? I don't understand what Michael. You're coming to us with this story. You know what? You're coming to us with this story, and I'm not seeing it. And you're kind of coming, it feels like you're the bad guy right now. You're complaining about your friend's good time.
Yeah.
And it's not in his hands. It was in his hand, but it was in the hand that he drew after the first hand.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, how's this is, the Tony, not the bolus. I'm going to go ahead and say that.
Hey,
I'm voting right away.
All right.
I'm impartial. Tony is also not the bullet. I'll vote for
you're
that.
Impartial.
Who cut the deck? Who cut the deck?
You know what? At that point, I'll abstain too. So I think.
Wait, hold on a second. You're withdrawing your submission?
I've been thoroughly convinced that I need to change my view on this situation. Yeah.
I do think it's funny that you're like, this. Hey, I've got this story. Check this out. Infinite combo in an environment full of infinite combos. Doesn't it suck that he got it the same way? Like, yeah, dude, it's the same reason I don't touch CEDH, or like, it's the same reason I don't like to sit down with people who are like, this is my one deck that I only have one deck of, and it's this deck, and guess what, it's Momir Vig. And you know, I don't need that, you know what I mean? Like, I just the pod, the cube itself feels like the villain. If you were like,
yeah,
because it does feel like silly to be like, okay, here's a cube. Check this out. We're gonna play not 1v1. Okay, interesting cube thing. We're going to play not 1v1, but we're also going to go drafting conspiracy stuff. Cool. Love that for all of us. And the cube is filled with two card combos. Okay. Multiple variations of two card combos, but of course. Mm-hmm. Okay, wonderful. And so we're not playing 1v1, so it means that we're going to get a lot more pushback from the other players. No, not necessarily. You're all racing.
Yeah,
and
no one has
the
removal.
The draft portion is going to take longer than the games ever could.
Correct.
And then we're all going to put things away, and the cleanup is actually going to be more time than the some of the games.
Yes.
And that's why I wear this blurry checkered flag shirt at cons, because I'm going to be waving it immediately. shout out to Alan. This cube sounds nuts and I do want to play it, but it is, I'm already frustrated with it. But also I would be right with Michael in that I feel secondhand fury about this. I feel upset. Yep. You ever been asked to do somebody's like online stream? It is always a good time to play games with people. But then when you're like, okay, I'm going to get determined and put together a deck. I've stopped putting together decks for streams. If I really want to put the deck together and I'm like, I'm going to use the stream to motivate me, I'd stop myself. I go, no, you're going to play the last deck you did that for. No. You have another one in the reserves. You never got to show off on this chat. You know what? Go get that one. And if you really like this new one, next time you'll have it for then. You go do that.
That's how you have 40 decks, right?
Yeah.
That's how you build a collection.
Shout out to our listeners who were here last time, who know that I have too many decks. I have too many decks. Am I brewing more? Have I brewed Raffine since last we spoke? Got a list going. It's fun.
Would have been a quick brew.
No, it's been a full week, Mike.
Two.
Oh, two. I mean, it's been two full weeks, so it's actually a pretty regular brew.
Yes.
You know, it has been several months since the set came out, but I'm finally getting around to building Taysom from Murders at Karloff Manor. And who knows if this is still going to be true in a day from now.
Yeah. That's a pretty old card now.
Yeah.
When it is in, Ken, insert the month that this comes out. in month.
June 2024.
Gotta love it. But Michael, I do appreciate you coming with the story. I pause because I don't like when people call me Michael, and we've been calling you Mike, and you're Michael on Zoom.
Both are great.
I don't like Michael.
Big fan of both.
Michael's like, if somebody calls me Michael and I'll feel like a pit in my stomach, I will snap at them and be like, you don't get to say that. Like that's how it's
a privilege.
It's like
to
a,
you.
It's a feeling. I'll say the story though. I don't think Tony's the bolus whatsoever. I'm sorry. I can't give you that. Tony, you're off the hook.
Thanks.
How does it feel to be off the hook?
I mean, it feels like it just feels right. This happened last time. It's happening this time. Like,
yeah.
I mean, hopefully the viewers realize I'm a good guy and the rest of them are the problem.
Let's not get carried away here, but I think in this instance, you're fine.
As soon as Sam doesn't have the editing control, everything comes out. The tree comes out here.
I do also want to point out that Tony came into the story with a clean conscience. Like, I don't think he's been up all night like, oh, the Earthcraft. He's like, oh, yeah. Fine, man.
Yeah, he was like, so that was a sweet memory.
Yeah. He's like, yeah, that deck was pretty rad.
Can't believe it all came together like that. Wow.
It's one of those things where like I feel like I, you know, Mike is probably the least salty person in our pod, but when he is salty, it lingers.
It's so bad.
It's a grudge. So, that's so fun.
I mean, that was months ago.
I feel like I can see the light leaving his eyes the first time that I played the two card combo. And so the second time he really was, you know, like losing his mind. I think he really was like, really? He's like, again?
Yep.
Here's the thing, though. You have to know that you're talking to somebody who would yell immediately at the second time. I would scream, oh, come on, so loud and so high pitched. the entire conference hall would kind of turn around.
And yeah. we did. Like,
and I did.
Oh, okay, good.
Which is a rarity for Alex on my bike.
Okay, good. Well, I'm glad you have that story then. You know, that's great. That's what we want from that, you know?
Yeah.
I'm wondering, do we have a story of Tony actually being the villain? Tony, do you have a story where you're the real villain, or maybe do you have a controversial pet peeve?
Well, interesting. I think I have a pet peeve that I probably could talk about.
Okay.
The pet peeve for me is indecisive, decisive people.
Okay, explain.
So you're playing, you're doing your thing, you're innocent because you're a good guy like me. You're playing your game.
And so we're suspending disbelief.
Somebody has removal and there's a bunch of shit on the table, right? And this indecisive person is like, oh, I'm going to destroy this. Well, all it takes is like one person who usually is the person that like they're targeting to be like, oh, like you shouldn't hit that. You should hit this other thing. And they're like, oh, all right. And so then they just like move over to that. And then that person does the same exact thing. Next thing you know, there's like five freaking targets on the table. And that person just keeps bouncing around and then eventually lands on my stuff every single time. I can't like speak without being aggressive.
He's trying, folks. He's trying.
I get it. I understand. I also have a hard time not swearing, so I understand. Okay. Here's the thing, Tony. Hell of a pet peeve, and I'm with you. But also, as someone who successfully deters people all the time, I'm fine with it.
Yeah.
Okay.
Because
you know. Because sometimes what will happen is, like, I think I'm going to generous gift your commander, and I'll be like, seriously, this guy, this little guy, you're looking at that guy, he's got Nykthos next turn in a mono blue deck. You're gonna hit my little guy that has a dice trigger that it's just like, it's going to go away at some point. It's just like not the most optimal time. Hey, look, okay, but I sure hope somebody else has land destruction in a format that frowned upon. Almost like we're using the perfect card to not use on the perfect target, huh? Oh, boy. Well... Yeah. If there's nothing else, I guess I'll put my commander into the graveyard and then put it in the command zone.
And I definitely...
Oh, you wanted to change it to the Nykthos? I made a good point. You're right. Yeah. Anyway, I'm going to sacrifice my commander to this Ashnod's altar and then use that 2 mana to bring it back.
Yeah. And I totally get that because politicking is like a big part of the game. But I think there's a lot of players that are like so easily swayed and they bounce back and forth between three or four different targets and then just pick one borderline randomly. They're just like, all right, fine. I'm just going to do this one because there's too much happening in my head. And like, that's what I mean by like indecisive, decisive people where it's like, even if it's objectively the wrong thing, they settle on something eventually.
Yeah.
And I hate that.
Like, enough is enough. I'm just going to hit this one thing. And you're like, but no, not that one.
There's something different, too, about like taking information where it's like, well, you don't need to kill my commander because there is actually this threat over there and changing your mind based off of that. Or someone that just keeps hearing, what if you didn't? And saying, good point. And then going to the next person.
Exactly.
Yeah. If you're swayed by what if you didn't, it just feels like, hey, maybe you should hold on to the removal.
Yeah.
Like, why is it burning a hole in your pocket?
That is the one thing I don't think I've tried. Like, why don't you just not cast it? I've ever been like, how about you just take it right off the stack? I'll allow it this one time. That's totally fine. You don't need to do it.
I mean, you can't. I guess you can't do it then, right? But it's also like, hey, look at us having a bit of a learning experience together. You could also, when there's so many targets that you don't know which one to pick, maybe your heart's not in it, and you need to find one that really speaks to you on that level.
Yeah, it's definitely tempting to hit him with a borderline condescending. You know, I usually like to save my instant speed removal for when it really matters.
Oh, man. I'm definitely moving you know your what? Thing if you say that.
I did mention this does feel like something I would say to my buddy Chris, who shout out, we mentioned him last episode.
Chris.
Wonder if he'll ever listen to this.
Yeah. I don't know if he will. My buddy Chris. It does feel like if he was like waffling on something and then finally picked one, I would turn to the rest of the table and go like, man, this is so nostalgic. I remember when I used to suck at magic, and it just feels so good.
There actually doesn't even have to be a debate in order for you to say that when someone casts removal on your stuff, though.
It's just fun. But also, like, obviously, I'm not about to say that. Hey, let's show up to a convention. Nice to meet you. What's your name? Shane? Cool, Shane. I remember when I used to suck at magic like Shane. That's a one-way ticket to getting yelled at on Twitter and then be like, he loves to have this, he has this whole persona about being a nice guy. And really, he's mean. You're like, yeah, I'm a full-fledged human being. Just because I'm a adult-sized 300-pound toddler doesn't mean that I'm always going to be a nice boy, first of all.
I do but think removal burns a hole in people's pockets sometimes, though. Like,
totally.
I think, yeah. Like, especially if you hold up mana and you're like, well, I'm going to choose to not do something on my turn, hold up mana, so I have this removal, and then it gets all the way around, and you're like, well, I got to get my value. I didn't do that thing on my turn. I have the removal now. I'm just going to pick a target that seems the most threatening, whatever criteria I have, and I'm just going to blast it.
Yeah.
Well, that's the thing, is like you can totally have like two targets lined up, and if one of them gets dealt with by the time it's before your turn,
yeah,
awesome, nab the other one if you're so intent on casting it. But if there's like one thing and then you've like quote unquote spent your mana but not your card, hey, look at you being a great magic player relying on full control and information. You want to, first of all, removal is such a controlling way to play. Who needs it? I say do your own thing and eventually people die.
Yeah. Like that. I'm so with you. It's not even funny.
Oh, no.
I remove removal from my deck so I don't have to make those choices. I don't need to hold up mana. I can just play cool things on my turn and it's fine.
I love removal that's like one for each of you. Then it's like, oh, I can't. It's the cards. Cards saying I got to do it. So, yeah. Like, or something that's more of a catch-all where you're like, I know I have it. I'm going to do it. And that's it. You know? Hey, this is giving me problems. Here's Ravenous Chupacabra. Bang, bang, baby, you're dead. Anyway, you know, it is fun to play like a Druid of Perfection or whatever it's called, the 4-mana Druid that enters.
Oh, yeah. Purification.
Yeah, purification.
Yeah, it's great. Druid of Purification, that's it. So, like, it's, you know, that's fun for, you know, to play every now and then. But you know what's a lot more fun to play? A bunch of tokens, a Sack Outlet, and a Zulaport Cutthroat. Oh, buddy, don't even.
Now you're talking.
I don't even need to see your board.
Like, yeah,
yeah.
I need removal. Me. Otherwise, every game is Earthcraft Squirrel Nest. So yes. I will be running my removal. Yeah,
you definitely need removal. Otherwise, that's the format. It's racing to a win con, but it is a lot of fun to get like seven cards together and being like, oh, these work well.
Yeah,
hey, that's a blast. Nice. Doesn't even have to win the game. I'll be excited.
You need removal to deal with Tony. You know, that's really what it is. Mike and I have to put removal in our decks because Tony has put more value engines in those slots in his decks. We need to stop that.
Tony
as
and
much
I
as
play the
can.
Same way.
Yeah. You truly do.
I run player removal, not, you know, individual card removal. This is
except Tony doesn't shy away from those powerful staples that you mentioned in the last episode. He's about that, man.
Yeah, but that's the thing is then I feel so great about how I'm running garbage and still winning. You know what I mean? It's like, I love that I'm not playing Rhystic Study, but somehow in this deck, I've got more cards than the table combined. Let's get it. You know what I mean?
Oh, man.
Like, I do have, like, you know, it's, I've, remember when the breakdown, Command Zone used to do the breakdown of, like, this is what you should have in your decks.
Mm-hmm.
And it was, like, you know, targeted removal, like, five pieces of targeted removal and, like, three board wipes. I'd be, like, one board wipe, two pieces of targeted removal. There's more than enough at the rest of the table. And I can be point at something and be, like, that's mean, right? We don't like that. Well, I got nothing right now, and I'm far from drawing into my austere command, the one board wipe. that I can name because it's the one board wipe.
It's a good one,
and,
though.
And you know why I picked Austere Command? Because most of the time, I want to destroy all artifacts so that I can proc my Disciple of the Vault without having to pay for these clue tokens. So, you know what I mean? Like, there's a lot. Yeah, anyway. So where are we at on indecisive, decisive people? I think where I am, I get why they're frustrating, but I also am like,
but you like to control them, so you feel good about them.
Not necessarily. I'm like, those are like, it is like a thing where I'm like, if I have my one removal spell and I do know what I want to get rid of, but I'm in a fine enough position where I can be like, hey, if somebody gets rid of this thing later, I can get rid of something now. And they're like, yeah, could you use that on this? And I'm like, hey, can you not ruin my night by doing this other thing? And they're like, you got it. I'm like, perfect. So here's my generous gift, killing that thing. And now you got to take care of the other thing by spending your resource on it. And we're friends, when ultimately it could have been the same result without a deal.
But Mike, you keep talking about this scenario as if you've successfully convinced the other player to transfer their removal target. We're talking about the case where you don't get that.
Oh, yeah. But then you get to be a bit of a jerk, too, and you're justified. Yeah. If you don't get to convince them away from anything, you get to be like, well, all right. I guess my stuff was just so threatening. A little 4-mana enchantment that lets me look at the top of my library and play a land. Oh, boy. Guess this card's too... Guys, do we have to have a playgroup meeting after this and discuss house bans? Should we discuss a house ban list after this game? I don't know. Chris thought it was too powerful to leave alone. And you know, if Chris is targeting it, he thought really long and hard about it. Now, obviously, I'm talking about this like it's in a playgroup, like a trusted playgroup. You could be that guy. But when you're not in a trusted playgroup and somebody's like, after a lot of deliberation, I'm still going to target your thing. You got to be like, yeah, fair. Okay. I don't like it and I'm going to come for you for it. But okay, fair. Yeah, we're good.
Yeah, you can't scold them.
I think it's almost a worse scenario when it didn't start on your thing. And it just ended on your thing.
Yeah.
Like, when it ends on your thing, you're like, we're doing this? Okay. Okay.
I have probably been quoted saying exactly that many times in my playgroup. Like, really? We did it?
Recall.
All right.
Cool. I don't recall that, Tony, actually.
Because you're so blinded.
Because it's me doing it, folks. I'm the one. I'm the one who's redirecting the targets.
Yeah.
And it works most of the time.
Verbal deflecting SWAT is a good card.
Yeah. If I don't have to spend mana or a card to deflecting SWAT a spell away from me, I'm going to do that a lot.
What I don't mind is when one of my creatures is being targeted and I'm like, I have a sack outlet on board. You're basically forcing me to do a thing sooner.
Yeah.
I don't know if it's really worth it, you know?
I don't even like care. Yeah, like just go for it, remove it.
Yeah. That's the thing Mike does often is we'll be like, well, I'm gonna remove this, and you're like, okay, and we're like, but I don't have to. What will you do for me? And you're like, you can just remove it. I don't care. And it's
like, oh, maybe I should remove something else.
It's like trying to scale like a.
That's a funny.
Sheer surface that's just glass and there's no footholds. Like, you're giving me nothing here.
I do like that. That's Michael's response. I think Michael's response to this is the coldest, coolest thing to do.
He's like, all right,
that is bananas.
Mike will also be the flip side of it and be like, I'm gonna remove that thing. You're like, oh, but like, you know, I can just sack it. And he's like, yep, like, go on, do it, show it or don't.
Yeah, he forces your hand.
Okay, I guess. Wait, I need some more time to think about it. You're like, okay, sure. Yeah. Did you decide to keep destroying this one thing? I'll wait. Okay, it's all good.
Yeah. He just makes you second guess it so much that often you do pick something else. Or you're just like, is this not a valuable piece? Did I misjudge? Does he not really need this? You know, like,
is my threat assessment off today?
Yeah. Actually, I'm going to sacrifice my whole board because
the flip side of this is it's either that or I threaten complete retribution, and you never know whether that's because it matters or not.
Yeah,
I do that in my regular play group a lot, where, like, you know, I keep using Chris, I just keep using Chris for it. Where Chris will be like, I have to get rid of your sac outlet because otherwise you run rampant with it. I think it's the best move is to get rid of your sac outlet. And I'll be like, okay, I'll admit that's the right call. But hey, everybody else, good news today. You don't have to worry about me at all. Chris, I hope you enjoyed that play because it's the last one you're going to get to do without any real consequences immediately.
Mike, we're just the same. We're the same person in our pods.
You got to send a message that they don't do it again.
Exactly. I agree.
But if you send the message every single
time. This is why we're the same.
Yeah. But Tony sends that message every single time you do something to him. And eventually it's Boy Who Cried Wolf. And I just don't care anymore because Tony's like, well, I'll be your mortal enemy. It's like, you're my mortal enemy last game, man. You can't do it again, you know?
No, you can, and you will. You know what? We've been going for some time, and I do think that as far as a two-parter goes, an unexpected two-parter, mind you, we didn't plan this. You guys just called in again.
Yeah, we just call when we have problems. I mean, it's, you know,
just hotline and back-to-back.
The hotline number's there for everybody to use. I don't know.
And so, gang, thank you so much for calling again, Sam, Mike, and Tony of the Howling Salt Mine. Be sure to check them out on Twitter, on Instagram. Check them out where you get your podcasts. Subscribe, follow, listen, review. 5 stars only. Don't be jerks. 5 stars only. You know, and I say this on our podcast too. If you don't want to give 5 stars, give 5 stars anyway, and then guess what? My email is so easy to find. You can be mean to me directly without ruining it for everybody else involved. And if you really want it, that's what you're achieving with less than 5 stars, is you're hurting my feelings. Would you like to hurt my feelings in a more direct way? Let me help you.
I like that. That's great.
So that'll do it for us this time on this call. Good night, everybody. Let's get back to Solani and Morgan in the booth. Well, I'm not mad to hear from them again, but how'd they get through a second time? I have no idea. The boys from the Howling Salt Mine, thank you so much for making this a Howling Salt month, I guess, if we had kept them in the same month. Howling Salt May could not be. Wow. A month's worth of episodes with the Howling Salt Mine boys. Thanks again to Michael, Sam, and Tony for calling in. And again, as you may have heard on the last episode, check out Howling Salt Mine. It's a good time. Great podcast. Good people. And get involved. How do we feel about this one? Morgan, we should get into it. But before we do, tell us how the votes break down.
All right. Mike, math-wise... Me?
Oh boy, my favorite subject in French school.
You did just count to 72.
That was a really long count to 72, and we're very proud of you for it.
I went through the Wikipedia to get all the... I went to look at all the Commander Precon decks that were released and made sure I marked down the ones I've already bought.
Just really
quickly. It
wasn't
just counting them.
Since 2013. I had
to find them. Exactly.
Our voting system, thankfully, is super simple. Between me and Solani, we each get one vote, which means between us, we have a total of 2 votes. Carosa.
That's me.
His vote counts for 3.
How do you like them apples,
I don't. It means our votes don't mean anything compared to yours.
Goodwill Solani, Hunting.
I don't. You're not going to. We're going to send you to the gulag if you keep talking like that in every single episode. It's fair. It's free, fun politics. That's all math is.
Math is politics?
Fun free politics? Oh, God.
Math is objective. What is happening? Politics.
So let's get into this. Morgan, what's Michael? What's Michael? What's Tony? What's whoever's question you're going to go with?
Name the third one. Who's the third one?
Sam didn't ask a question this time. Sam got to talk a lot last time he called. Yes. Sam's prospecting.
He's got one of those little helmets with a little light on it. It's like flickering out. He's like, oh, no.
He was too salty about Archfiend of Ifnir to come back this time around. So he just went deeper into the mine.
He was back. He just wasn't being salty again because he got his say.
The Archfiend must have got him.
We got Michael talking about a cube situation and Tony talking about something else targeting. So, Morgan, yes. Which one are we going with?
So, the Howling Salt Mine trio, duo, singular, wants to know.
Tony. Or Michael.
Or Tony. Or Sam.
It's Tony.
Wants to know, am I the bolus for disliking when players can't make up their mind about their own targets?
Yeah. Okie dokie. I like this topic.
And there's an addendum here of, or changing their mind or rolling dice to make decisions.
Okay, so like, you know, not being decisive about your targets. Not being like, okay. I think Tony specifically wasn't like rolling dice, but rather like having somebody's mind changed while playing. Okay, all right. Okie dokie. Well, Michael, I see you're raring to go. Let's hear you. What do you got to say?
Mike, if you canonize this as a sin, it will completely remove my ability to weasel my way out of things getting destroyed that definitely should be, but I don't want them to be. You can't take this away from me, Mike. I have had my commander saved by just saying, like, really? You're really going to do that? And believe me, I was raised Catholic, so I'm very good at being disappointed in people. And it's like, come on, man. There are so many other things. There's an Archfiend of Ifnir right over there that you could point that path to exile at. It's a ramp piece. And you could be like, get rid of that. It'll save all your creatures. Don't worry about my combo piece in the command zone. Yeah, don't worry. It's a 7-mana 4/4 that does nothing, Mike. It does nothing. And I don't mean that in the Nolrod way of, no, it does nothing. I mean, it literally does nothing.
Solani is a sweet, sweet angel in every EDH game he's ever played, so you can't target his things.
I'm a sweet, sweet angel with a silver tongue, and if you take that away from me, well, then I'm just going to have to declare you the bolus, Mike.
Okay, well, so you're saying that, are you the bolus for disliking when playing? So you're saying Tony is the bolus?
Yeah, for disliking. Of course.
Okay.
Listen, if you want to stop that in your games, you just have to talk better than them. Like, if everyone's going to be convinced, like, oh, it's okay, you could take it back. That didn't happen. No, you've got to put your foot down in your mouth and have your mouth say the foot things and be like, yeah, you can't do that. You've already declared a target.
Okay. Well, that's one way to go about it. Morgan, how do you feel about it?
So, once more, I'm starting to take Solani's context matters into question when I make my votes, but my final vote will remain the same. Disliking when players can't make up their mind about their own targets there's a lot going on with that. I think some people naturally maybe don't know what the optimal play is, and maybe it's not great to get upset at them for that, but when somebody's very clearly trying to min-max the game and they just make a genuine mistake and they declare the wrong target and they're like, oh no, I actually don't want to do that. Yes, put your foot down. You made a mistake. Ideally, don't make the mistake next time and know that you weren't supposed to do that. But if some plays are confusing, some plays need more clarification. If it's not too far gone, I'm okay with rolling stuff back in 99% of my games. I don't play CEDH or anything. Mm-hmm. It's basically no rules where I live. And, you know, that's the nuance to me. So, but all that being said, I don't like the person who wants takesies backsies like every single time. And by every single time, sure. I mean, it's the same. Oh, I did it again. That oops, I did it again guy. He's not Britney.
Britney
He's
Spears?
He's a pain in the butt. Britney. He's a pain in the butt when he does that. So I would say no.
Would you say they're not toxic?
It is toxic. But thankfully, Michael. Solani, you're a sweet, sweet angel. We forgive you for everything. Every transgression, forgiven.
Never the bolus.
Never the bolus. Not even once.
Forget about that time I tricked a kid into attacking poorly.
So nope, not the bolus, because the times that it's irritating are very irritating, because they tend to, it's like give an inch, take a mile situations where they just start taking back everything instead of figuring out their mistakes. So nope, not the bolus.
Not the bolus for not liking when people can't make up their mind about decisions. Okay, so
we've got a bolus and a not the bolus.
Interesting. Now I get to friggin' talk about it a little bit. Here's the thing. I am split because I am, much like Solani, somebody who likes to try to get the negative attention off of me and onto something else that needs removal.
What are you talking about? I crave negative attention.
Well, then let me rephrase that. I will use other pieces on the board as like targets for removal that I don't have. And that's just what politicking is in the game, right? Like, you're like, hey, somebody's like, hey, I'm going to generous gift your thing. And I'll go like, are you sure you want to do that? Considering on board, there is a much bigger threat to the entire table versus my little guy. And they're like, yeah, I think I'm going to take you up on that. And I'm like, sweet. I really need this little guy. Right. It's one of those things where I understand that. And I think Sam also mentioned that that's how he plays, or that's how Tony plays as well. But the point is, I think when players can't make up their minds and they are flip-flopping a lot or regularly or need to take things back, or, you know, they roll their dice to make a decision, that I'm not on board with. And I don't think you're the bolus for disliking when people can make up their minds. Yeah. So I'm going to go with not the bolus here. I think it's fair.
Can we talk about the dice thing specifically, though?
Sure, yeah, go ahead.
I don't get why everyone's so upset about this. So, like, is it just me?
I think the dice thing, when it's something that could, like, pivot the game in a big way, is a bit of an insult to the game part. You know, it's like you're not playing a randomly select spell, or, hey, this creature has to attack, I wonder who I'm going to choose kind of thing. You're just kind of being like, well, I have this creature, and it can ping for one, and, I don't know who should take the damage, but somebody should. Let me roll a die and throw it down. Like, that's fine at the beginning of the game. But if it's like, I'm about to discard this kill spell, and I don't really know which one of your creatures is going to die, so I'm going to roll this die and make that decision there. It's like, no, everybody's got developed boards. Make an informed decision. This is part of the game.
Hold on. Chaos should be part of the game. Can't you be allowed to make a completely arbitrary decision? I've decided to throw away my agency and leave it all up to the whims of fate instead of making an informed decision. And maybe that'll change the course of the game. Maybe that's just my play style. Is that somehow less valid than making a choice and choosing wrong, which a lot of people will try to weasel their way out of? Like, I think it's like a Joker scenario. It's like, it's completely fair.
And we all know how much people love the Joker.
Yeah, as I was saying it, I realized that that did not work in my favor.
Yeah, Michael. Yeah.
You played yourself. Oh my God, sweet angel.
This is the hero you sing of, the Joker? Next you're going to do the Gary Glitter song, for God's sake?
But it's Michael, okay to do that sort of thing because it's fun sometimes. You're allowed to do something chaotically. I think you are allowed to play chaotically.
You're allowed to. But it's not necessarily something that's super appreciated when part of what you're doing as a player is trying to assess, or, like, you know, the board state and making sure that you might have, like, a lower profile than somebody, and then you're doing all this stuff to make sure that maybe your stuff isn't going to get targeted, or you're not going to take damage for no reason. If I'm sitting at the table and I've got 10 life while the other two opponents have 60 and they have open boards and I just happen to be...
They should kill you. Why shouldn't they? Because it's easier to kill you.
Okay, but what if I'm an asset to them and yet they're still like, I'm going to roll this die? You know what I mean?
At least it gets the game closer to an ending. That's also
part
of it.
For me.
For everybody.
No.
By definition, having a player out of the game makes it closer to the end of it.
Right. But it's not necessarily going to mean that it's going to take less time. I disagree. I think rolling dice for a couple things, like, it can make sense in the right environment. Like, chaos is fun. But if you're, like, at a table where, like, one removal spell can make the difference between somebody winning the game, somebody losing the game, you should be playing it to win. Like, you should be playing it to, like, it's do a, something that you want to happen.
What about the scenario? Go on, Morgan.
In the context of an incredibly obvious play like that, because it goes into like time wasting and like maybe not reading the room very well to say, yeah, I'm going to introduce chaos in a space where it's not really necessary and it's only going to get everybody kind of just rolling their eyes at me for no reason. Because yeah, I'm fine with it too. And if you want in the beginning of the game, the middle,
you know,
of the game,
Morgan, that convinced me. Sure. I agree with you.
Yeah, because yeah, like it's like anything else. I think obviously the big part of Commander is like reading the room, knowing the people who you're playing with, or getting to know them through how they play, and knowing that rolling the dice at the final removal spell that's going to make or break the next 60 minutes of your life, you're being kind of a jerk when you do that.
That's, you know, fair. I agree with that.
But at the beginning, if you've got like a raging goblin that you play turn one while nobody else has had your turn yet.
How do you know
yet,
all these goblins?
I used to have goblins.
It's a goblin guy.
You know, this sledding goblin last episode, you're kind of a goblin
guy. I just
had
one next to me. They're in my, I'm going through my red bulk so I can
really
downsize
just
my collection.
Just say goblin and then any other word, and it's probably a magic card too.
This goblin over here.
The ephemeral goblin.
Probably
so
a card.
Goblin. No. Ephemeral is decidedly white blue. I think we got ourselves a something in the mailbag.
That's the mailbox.
That's the
noise.
Sound of our mailbag.
That's the sound of our mailbox.
Box.
That's the mailbox.
Oh, right. The bag makes a different sound. Hey, Mike, what sound does the bag make?
Oh, it makes
this
sound.
You know what sound that makes.
I was not prepared for you to play the same sound.
Tickle.
All right, look. Here we go.
Pull one out of the box
That you can write to. By sending mail to amithebolus @gmail.com.
amithebolus@gmail.com. Send it in for the podcast or for the column, and I'll get to it. So here we've got one from My Deck Isn't a 7. Hey, Mike, my play group plays mostly through an online simulator that gives us access to the full card pool. For a long time, there weren't any issues since none of us were interested in CEDH, and we could all agree that games are just more fun when there's sufficient back and forth instead of who can turbo out their 3-mana and 2-card infinite combo first. In the last year or so, though, we've managed to convince some other longtime friends of ours to join us when playing Commander, and these friends have realized, because of the simulator we use, that there are no explicit barriers to using the best cards in the format. Ostensibly, we have our lines drawn at no CDH or no infinite combos and, quote, no hard stacks, with everything else just about being fair game. The problem is, even with these rules, I think our games are still too high-powered. Mana Crypt, Chrome Mox, ABUR Duels have become staples in every deck. One of my friends in particular runs Simient Spirit Guide and Elvish Spirit Guide in every red-green deck they have. I've had important creatures stolen from me by Gilded Drake, a card I didn't even know existed until it was used against me, and there have been multiple instances of people dumping a full hand of mana rocks, getting their commander out on turn one, and nobody being able to do anything about it. So I ask you, am I the bolus for not enjoying the power level we agreed on? Admittedly, I haven't spoken to anyone else to get their thoughts on our games, and it's not like there's anything stopping me from jamming Crypt, Lotus, or whatever either, besides my own personal feelings about the cards. Yours truly, My Deck Isn't a 7. Okay, this is an interesting one. We're going to call the deck 7 person Tony.
7 and 9.
We're just going to call them Tony. We're talking
Tony
about
two.
Tony.
Tony 2.
Tony 2.
No, that's going to confuse two. People. You got to come up with an original name. How about
Ham? We're going to call them Ham. So Ham wrote in about playing with a play group online through a simulator where they have access to all the most expensive cards for free and can just play Commander however they want to build it. And they were pretty stoked with the initial power level before, you know, the rest of the group started powering out the big guns, Jeweled Lotus, Chrome Mox, Mana Crypt, etc. And essentially, my issue with this email right now is that there's a line that says, we agreed on no CDH. We agreed on no hard stacks. But I'm sorry, buddy. This sounds a lot like CDH. You know what I mean? It might not be tier one CEDH where you're playing Yuriko or, you know, Najila or who, you know, whatever CEDH gods are out there. But like, this is high powered enough to be in the realm of CEDH. Nobody jams Simeon Spirit Guide or Elvis Spirit Guide in every deck if they're not being competitive in some way. talk about some of the most boring cards. Oh, here we go. This gets tossed out into the rest of the world, not even in the game. This goes from your hand to out of the game to give you one mana. Jeez, brutal. You know? So this is pretty much CDH, and I understand that you don't like your power level at the moment. That's like fair. What I also don't like about this is that you haven't spoken to anybody about it. I don't think anybody else has a problem with the level that they're playing at because nobody has spoken up, but maybe they are feeling that way and felt pressured to keep up. And you also feel pressured to keep up, but you are resisting it. And I think a conversation is absolutely necessary. And as I mentioned on a lot of podcast episodes and on top of the column, I've let the mask slide a little bit. It's about vibes and it's about the same advice every time, which is if you're in a play group that sees each other regularly or plays with each other regularly, get used to having open conversations. There's such a thing as having confrontation without it being negative. Go for it. Tell your friends that you're not enjoying this style of play. And if they receive it well, awesome. If they don't, find out if they're open to some sort of compromise. You know, there's something to be gained by just offering a conversation with people you call friends. So that's my takeaway here. You're not the bolus for not enjoying the thing. You don't enjoy it. Hey, I don't like olives. I'm not about to go out and eat a bunch of olives. You know what I mean? Why would I do that? I don't like them. But if you're sitting down and you're just scarfing down a whole plate of olives every time you're playing Commander and you're like, I don't like olives. Hey, buddy, does anybody here know that you don't like olives? Have you told anybody that you don't like olives? Maybe they'll pull out some cucumbers instead. Michael's trying so hard not to laugh and it is wild. I don't know.
I think
I can't believe
I think
don't
this story
olives.
Has layers.
I don't like olives at
there's,
all.
There's like an olive.
There's a lot going on here.
It's layers like an olive, really? It's really? Not an onion, Solani.
Oh man. So
Morgan,
so,
go for it.
Carosa, your vote is not the bolus.
Not the bolus for not enjoying your playgroup.
I'll get it out right away and say that you're not the bolus, Ham. Not even a little bit.
Thank you for remembering him.
One of the hardest, the best and worst things about Commander are the fact, like you said, Carosa, we do have to communicate. It is all about vibes. You should ideally get to know your playgroup over a certain period of time. People hate us for this, but I think it's the best part about the format is that you can bring up some hard conversations about some really awful cards. And in this case, when there's no rules, there's no rules. And whether those rules, that the lack of rules is tethered to the fact that you haven't communicated that, okay, no CEDH is pretty broad because then people can get kind of cheeky and just play essentially vintage Commander with, you know, every card that's ever been printed.
I'm not playing Demonic Consultation Thoracle. It's not that deck.
Saying, do we not want to have a lot of ramp? Do we not want to have a lot of card draw, tutors? Like, there's a lot of different little bits and pieces that come into that power level that isn't just strong decks, because strong deck is very subjective. It changes game by game unless you are playing something like CEDH to an extent. So yeah, absolutely recommend the conversation. Maybe just put some new rules in place. Maybe just try, like, maybe we just make decks from two specific blocks or something. Be creative with it if you're looking for more of a challenge that way. But yeah, not the bolus. Absolutely not. For things get out of hand and you do have to communicate it in the end to make it better.
Totally. Solani, what do you think?
I can't say anything that's different from that. I mean, if you don't say anything, you're being the bolus to yourself.
Agreed. There it is.
That's something.
There it is.
I guess if you want to be a jerk, you can be a jerk to yourself by not saying anything about it. Go solve the problem. Like, talk to people and solve the problem.
That's
all I could really say about this one.
There we go. There it is. Good confrontation.
Wait. Context matters.
Boo.
And
the more you say that, and I think it back to the time where you were like, we should have a shirt that says context matters. And it's just like, oh, yeah, really? Remember when Drake and Kendrick were beefing about stuff and Kendrick called Drake a pedophile? What if Drake was a fan of the podcast and pulled up his Context Matters shirt and wore it out and about to the wherever he's got to go, huh?
You took that to places. None of those words are in the Bible, first of all. And I didn't know. We're in orbit. Yeah,
Yeah, yeah, but CDH is in the Bible. Get bent over here. What
Does
are you
the
talking
word
about?
Drake appear in the Bible? I think I it should, it right?
It is.
Anyway, that
type.
Does it for us this week. We had a lot to say. Morgan, where can people find you online?
I am on Twitter.
It doesn't
at
appear
Indigo
in the Bible.
Gentlemen.
Good. In at Indigo Gentlemen online. Michael, where can people find you?
They could find me and all of the stuff I do at gamesfreaksa.info. That's the letters S and A, not the word.
Gorgeous. I'm Mike Rosa at MikeCarrozza. You can follow me on Twitter and Instagram. You can also follow the podcast at Am I the Bowlcast on Twitter. Not Instagram, not anywhere else, just Twitter right now. Make sure to check out my column over at commandersherald.com called Am I the Bowlist, where you can also find Michael's column, How They Brew It. And you can also check out EDH Rec and all of our sister sites like Architect. And, you know, you got to check it out. Check us out. Check out our writing. Check out our stuff. And yeah, what else do I got to say? Huh? It's June. Go outside. Enjoy some weather.
Unless it's raining.
Go swim.
Yeah, if
it's raining,
nice.
Maybe stay inside.
I mean, I'm just looking forward to taking more walks, and I think it's good for everybody to do the same. So while it's nice out, go out for more walks, and then in between games, or get some games outside where it's not too windy. I hope you, wherever you are, you're enjoying your time, and it's summer, baby. Let's get it. We'll be back next time with more to talk about with whoever calls in. The lines are open, baby. Come give us a call. All right. We still don't know how to end the podcast on the air, so I'm just going to...